Okay, the last couple of weeks,
the last couple of times, we were talking about competition, about things that we didn't have yet. Like we spoke two times ago about trying to purchase a house and the other person tries to beat you out on it. That was the rules of Ani Amhapet Mechavara. And we learned that, according to most poskim, especially Ashkenazim, if it's something that is one of a kind that you're trying to get, so that's like a mitziah. A mitziah, you're allowed to compete with the other person even though he's actively negotiating. If it's something that you can get somewhere else, like a house, you can buy another house, you can find another vacuum cleaner somewhere else. So if this person already had pisuk damim, or he was negotiating on the way to making a final agreement, there's iser to try to beat him out on it. And if someone does try to take it from him, he's called a rasha. Ani amafet v'chavara is called a rasha. So that was the first halacha we learned. Last time we learned, even in the case of a mitziah, something that's mamish one of a kind, it's an exclusive franchise that you're trying to get, it's the only house, the last house that's going to be sold in that neighborhood, and there's nothing else available, mamish nothing else. It's not a house, you can find another house, but this is a house that you need. We said an example, you needed to have a rancher, and it's the only rancher in the neighborhood, the only one that's there, and you need to get it. So there we said, even though there's a rule of mitziah, there's another halacha called Ani HaMenakef B'Zayis, that if something that you put a lot of tircha into it, something that the first person put a lot of trouble into it, if the second person takes it, that's Gezel D'Rabbanan. It's Asim Yitzrim Darkei Shalom. We said it was a machlokis. What's the definition of tircha? How much effort we had to put into it? The Marshal said he puts his life on the line to climb that tree, and others said that he's so sure he's going to get it. We had different definitions. I just want to point out, someone asked last time that if he's climbing the tree and he's knocking down the olives, the second person that takes it is benefiting from the first person's work. So that should be unfair. So I saw the Chassam Sofer ask that kasha. The Chassam Sofer says that it's okay to benefit from someone else's work as long as you don't cause him a monetary loss. You just caused him that he wasted his time an effort. That's okay. The only issue would be if you had a monetary loss, that would be a problem. But over here, he just went through the trouble of knocking down the olives. You took away those olives, which he never made a kinyan on. That's no problem, except for the fact that there was the tircha involved. So those were the halachas. All those cases were cases where you were trying to get something. We're trying to get a franchise, trying to get the olives, trying to get the house, trying to get things that we don't have yet. And the second person comes and tries to get it. Tonight we're going to talk about, and for the next couple of times, we're going to talk about cases where I have something. I have a store already. I have a certain business, and a second person wants to come and open up the same business, so that we shouldn't sound like something that actually happened in town. We'll say that Reuven had a ski business. He sells skis. And Shimon decided that he wanted to open up a ski shop in town also. Is that permitted or not?
What? They're both
residents of the city, or that will be a factor. But you know, here we're talking where Reuven already has this business. He already has this service he does. He already has this shul. He already has a certain item that he has. Can a second person open up a competing same business? Right? We're going to talk about skis, so that way it won't be anything that's nogeya, anything that, you know, could have happened. But it's nogeya, any type of hat store, a supermarket, a bookstore, a svarim store, a kosher supermarket, all these, it's nogeya, anything. But we'll talk about skis. Okay, so we start with the Gemara in Bava Basra. Just to review, we also mentioned the last two times that there was the Marshal. With the Marshal set up that whenever you're dealing with these competition cases, there's four things we have to keep in mind. Three we've done so far. Those are Ani HaMapech V'Charara, Ani HaMenakech B'Zayis, which was Tircha. And the third one is to define whether it's a Mitziah, whether it's a one-of-a-kind item or not. Right? Those three we've taken care of the last 2 weeks. The fourth one is Yorid Lumnos Chaveiro, which we're going to do tonight. And that way we'll have these four principles so that in future weeks when we talk about copying over computer programs or all these other interesting cases that come up. So we will have the four principles based on these last three shiurim. So we'll take one step at a time, and by doing one topic at each week, so that way the future weeks will be easier to take care of. So it's a famous Gemara. Amar Rav Huna, Bava Vasu Chafal Famabez. Amar Rav Huna, Hai Bar Mavua. A person who lives in a Mavoi, right, in those days, the cities were set up, the different houses surrounded a courtyard, and there were different courtyards surrounding an alley. They had two types of alleys. We'll talk about one alley was like what we call a street that goes through, a through street. Another would be a dead end, right? It was closed on one end. There was two types of mavois. So if there is a mavoi, Duki Rechaya, who has a millstone for business, Vasa Bar Mavua Chavre, and his fellow neighbor came, the Kamuki Gabe, and he decided to put his millstone there. Dina Hu Dalach is the Ma'akevilave. The first one can stop the second one from doing it. The Amalei, because he could say, "Kapasaktele, you're ruining my livelihood." Now, just to point out, when we're talking here, different than the last two times, Ani Hamapich b'Charara, he's called a Rasha. The Ani Hamenakef b'Zayis, it's Gezel deRabbanan, but you can't take it away from him. It's only Gezel deRabbanan. Tonight's shir, Yared Leumnas Chaveiro Hasagas Gavul. Here it's Ma'akev. You can stop him from doing it. He opened up his millstone. You can close him down. It's not just, well, he did it, he's called a Rasha, or he did it, he violated a Drabanan Tika Gezel. Here we're talking business here. You can close him down. Here we're talking, the issue is, can you close him down or not? Not whether he's called a Rasha. Being called a Rasha is bad enough, but here, besides being called a Rasha, possibly, the halacha is that you could close him down. That's what Rav Huna says. We're going to skip the next Gemara, and we'll see that part next week. But the Gemara then continues, Amar Ravina LeRava. Ravina said to Rava, Lema de Rav Huna Damek Rav Yehuda. Let's say Rav Huna is going like the Tana Rav Yehuda. The Tana we learned in the Mishnah. Rav Yehuda says, Lo Yechalek Chenboni Kolios Ve'agosim Litinokos. A storekeeper cannot give out kolios, or these kernels of grain which they poach, they dry out in an oven, or agozim or nuts to the children, mimnei shemar gilin esla, because that'll cause the children to come to your store at the expense of the other store. V'chachamim atirim, the chachamim say it's mutter. So Rav Huna, who seems to be pro-monopoly, Rav Huna, who said that you cannot open up a competing millstone, seems to hold like Rav Yehuda, who says you can't compete with the other store by distributing giveaways to the children to make the children want to come. So Rav Huna seems to be going like Rav Yehuda, a minority opinion. The Gemara says, "Afila teimer rabbanan." You could even say that he's following the halacha, the shita of the rabbanan. Because Adkan lo pliga le rabbanan le Rav Yehuda hasan. Why did the rabbanan disagree with Rav Yehuda there? That's Elodomer, because he could say the second storekeeper can say the first storekeeper. No, come if I'm giving out nuts. Ad plug shiviski. You give out peaches. That almonds, there's not anything that I'm doing that's unfair. You're saying I'm giving away things, taking away my customers. So I could say the same thing to you. You give your giveaway. You know, you go to the bakery, they give the kids a cookie. You could do the same thing. Give a different type of cookie. Give the same thing. But in the case of the millstone, this thing's over there. But here in the case of the Milson, Avila Rabbanan mode, even the Chachamim could agree with Rav Huna, because they could. The first one could say that the second one, "Kapasakta the Chayusa, you're stopping my livelihood." Right. So that Gemara slugs up that first attempt to say that Rav Huna is like a Das Yachid, like a Rav Yehuda, because everyone could agree when it's something that both parties can do. The Chachamim agree that's where the Chachamim say it's okay to do. But where what you're doing is something that will stop the first guy's parnasa, then you can't do it. The Gemara then brings another braisa that really is keneged Rav Huna. It says, Osaram Chanus, you can open up a store next to someone else's store, a bathhouse next to someone else's bathhouse, and you can't protest. Because, and this is the Svara that we're going to use, Because the second one can say to the first one, you do what you want in your property, and I'll do what I want in my property. Don't make problems with what I'm doing in my property. So that's Shver on Rav Huna, who said that you can have a monopoly. So the Gemara finally answers, Tanoi is a machlokas tanoim. The Tanya we learned in a Braisa, and this is what you've probably heard in the past. Kofi b'nei mavoi zeh zeh. Residents of one mavoi can force someone from another mavoi, shelo leheshiv. They can force one another, shelo leheshiv b'nei, that someone from the outside cannot bring in lo chayet, not a tailor, lo borsig, a tanner, lo malami tinokos, lo echem, and bali umnis. The main point is that they can force each other, they could get together to stop another craftsman from coming into this alley, this street, where there already is one. I have a ski store in the alley, we can all stop another ski store from opening up. But if his neighbor wants to open up a second ski store in the alley, eino kafeyu, you can't stop him. So that seems to be not like Rav Huna, but Rav Huna says, I hold like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, because Rav Shimon Gamliel says, after Shchein Kafei, you can even stop his neighbor. The Gemara then has Rav Huna Beit Yehoshua, explains the Tanakhama's opinion, and he says, Pshitali, he says, it's simple that Bar Masa, Chviti Matzim Yaakov, if you're in Baltimore and someone from New York wants to come and open up a new ski store, you certainly can stop him. If he pays Maryland taxes, you can't stop him. But if it's his own neighbor, so then he can't stop him. He says he has a shayla, half of it's from one neighbor to another neighbor. That Gemara says, teiku. So the result of this Gemara is a machlokas Rav Huna and Rav Huna b'Reido Yeshua, whether you can hold on to your monopoly. Rav Huna says you can. Rav Huna b'Reido Yeshua says you cannot. Most poskim agree with Rav Huna b'Reido Yeshua because he's explaining the opinion of the Chachamim. Rav Huna was just going with Rav Shimon ben Gamliel's opinion of Das Yachin. Halachas Koshim Gamliel mechaveiro, not mechaveirov. So most poskim paskin like Rav Huna b'Reido Yeshua. That's halacha. The ma'isa is that we follow Rav Huna b'Reido of Yeshua, and the rule is if you're part of that neighborhood, you can open up the same shop even though there's one there. You can open it up. If you're coming from out of town, then we can stop you unless you're paying taxes. Right, so nowadays it's hard to know what neighborhoods are. The post can say it's not the same as it used to be, but you'd have to see what the item is and what the neighborhood is like. Like if you're talking a pizza store.
If you bought a house in the
oh yeah, if it wasn't like your neighbor, yeah, you can even if you just bought it today and you just moved in, moving in and opening up the store, that's fine. Yeah, what's called a neighborhood, that's a shaila nowadays, and that'll depend on what it is. If it's a pizza store is going to be different than appliance store, right? People don't buy refrigerators because it's next door. They shop around. They go on the phone. Yeah, there's different svaras. The Divrei Chaim, his svara, some svara has one svara which doesn't apply nowadays. The Divrei Chaim says the svara is that I can't do something to hurt someone else. But if I live in the neighborhood, so I have rights. I have zuchuyos because I'm a member. I'm a member of this neighborhood. So I have these rights in the neighborhood and no one can stop me from exercising my rights. If I don't live here, so then I can't do something that's going to hurt the neighborhood, right? That's a svara that they say. The Rei Chaim says such a svara, but that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that it depends on where you are. Now, one thing to keep in mind: we're not going to get into this so much, but there is a svara, the Rishon bring down, is brought in halacha, that even though we said someone from the outside can be stopped from coming into town to open up a store, if it's something for the good of the community, so then the post can say that we don't hurt the good of the community for the good of this one storekeeper to keep his monopoly. Like they say a mashal, like yeah, it's a, suppose it's a new community and someone opened up a grocery store, and he's the one grocery store. So it doesn't mean that when 10,000 people move into the city that he has rights to be the only store there. Right? If someone else is going to from the outside open up, and because of that, it'll keep prices low, get more selection, it'll be, you know, different gains, so then certainly they're allowed to come in. Or if it's just for a one-time thing, someone comes from out of town for one day, and it's for the good of the community that things will be cheaper, or there'll be different merchandise that's not normally available in the city, so then even though it's coming from outside the city, that's certainly mutter. We're talking about cases where it's not that good for the city, it doesn't make a difference, so that's where this takana applies. So it would seem from this that in most cases where we're dealing with people that do live in the city, or it's not so hard to move into the city, you have a blank check. Right? Once I live in the city, I can open up any ski shop I want, and it doesn't make a difference that this ski shop is here. And I could even open up next door. Right? It said, Rav Huna said, you can't do it in that mavoi. But we say if it's a member of that mavoi, the shachin can open up the shop, even though there's another one right next door. However, there is an exception, and we're going to talk about an exception that is clear and a possible extension of that exception. The clear exception is the achronim that we spoke about the last few weeks, the Sheiris Yosei, the Masas Binyamin. They were talking about cases in Europe where there used to be someone would get the exclusive rights to own the tavern to sell liquor. He would have that right, and there's only one in town. There's one tavern per town, and he would have that right, or he would have the right to only the exclusive rights to sell liquor. So the cases they were dealing with was where one Reuven had the right to have that liquor license or to have the liquor store, and a second person tried to elbow him out, tried to make a deal with the governor and say, I'll take less money, to make some deal. There, the Sheiris Yosef and the Masas Binyamin both say that if it's here, it's not like another millstone. There, in the case of the millstone, okay, I'm opening up a rival. You still have yours and I have mine. But if I'm taking away yours, I'm competing with you and I'm taking away your license, that's Yorid Lumnasa Chaveiro, which is Aser. That's Gezel. It might be Gezel. It might just be a Mazik. We'll see. That's clearly Aser. Even though we said, even though he's in the city, even though he lives in the city, but to take away someone's exclusive rights and put him out on the street, that is clearly Aser. The Sheiris Yosef, Masas Binyamin, they both say that. And not only, like we're saying, this is not only Aser, it's you can stop him, you can close him down. The Masas Binyamin has an interesting kasha. He says, so why last time when we spoke about Ani Menachev Azayis, Ani is climbing the tree and he's getting these olives, we said it's Gezel Derabanan, but you don't take the olives away from the second one. Why don't we use that logic? Here, this is my profession. I'm someone who gets olives, and you took them away from me.
And if he has the business and it's exclusive, now you're taking it out of his hand.
Okay. He says a more interesting answer. That might be right. The Masas Binyamin says a more interesting answer. He says, this ani, his profession isn't to be an ani. He's davening every day that he shouldn't be an ani anymore. Right, he's poor and Nebuch, he has to go spend his time climbing trees to knock down olives. So you can't say, well, my profession is that I climb trees to get olives, and if you take away my olives, you took away my profession. That's not my profession. I don't have a profession. I don't have a job. I don't have a parnasa, and I have to go up there and take olives. So you take them away from me. We're not dealing with Yorei Lu'umnas Chaveira. It's not an umnas. It's not a profession to be a beggar. That's not a profession. Some professions, you might not make much more than that, but that, at least you have a profession. Right, it's not a, but an ani who's just going around, that's not a profession, and that's why you couldn't stop him. It'll be Gezel Derabanan, but it won't be Gezel Deraisa. So that's a clear exception to, even though we said that if you live in the city, you can compete, you can open up that competing store, but not to take away someone's license. If the ski shop has one franchise per town, and you go talk to the owner and say, I can do a better job than that guy's doing, give me that franchise, so that's Aser. Even though you both live in town, you can open up a second ski shop, call it something else, but you can't take away his exclusive franchise, the one that he has. That's Gezel. The second extension is interesting. There was a Maisa in 1550 that the Maran Padova, together with a guy into partnership, and they printed a Rambam. They printed a set of Rambams. Have you heard this case? So another guy who had the same name, what's his name, is it's on the handout, Mark Antonio Justinian, was upset that the Maran Padova took this other Justinian as his partner, and he didn't take him as a partner. So he said, not only did he say, he went and he printed his set of Rambams. He printed his own set of Rambams, and he sold him for one gold coin less than the Maran Padova's. So the Maran Padova went to the Ramah and asked what could be done. Right? He has his Rambams, he put all the money into it, and he has how many he printed. The second one's competing with him with the same item, selling it for a dollar cheaper, a gold coin cheaper, not just a dollar. Does the Maran Padova have any right to stop this Justinian from going through with it? Well, the first thing Ramah says, we can't deal with Justinian because he's a goy and he's not, you know, he doesn't have to keep our Dinei Torah. But the question was, can we stop Jews from buying the Rambam from this non-Jew who put it out or not? So the Ramah brought a raya from a Mordechai who brings an Avi Yosef. The Avi Yosef says that even though, and there's different ways of understanding it, this is the way the Ramah understands it, even though we said, not like Rav Huna, we said that a person who lives in the Mavoi can open up a millstone next to another millstone, even though it's the same business, but the Avi Yosef says if it's a dead end, it's a dead end street, and Reuven's millstone is at the end of the street, and Shimon wants to open up a millstone at the beginning of the street so that anyone walking down the street to the millstone is going to hit Shimon's first. So the Avi Yosef says that's usher. If it's Bari Hezekah, the way the Ramah puts it, if it's going to be a clear hezek, because who's going to want to go down to Reuven when this one's closer, this one's right here? So if it's going to be a clear hezek to Reuven, so then Shimon has no right to open up his millstone right at the front. The Beis Yosef. Well, the case of the millstone is not cheaper. They were just opening up another millstone. Who says it's? Oh, I didn't get there yet. Yeah, right. But that's what he's saying. We'll take one step at a time. Right. So he said that. Rabbi Yosef says that's usher. Right. You can't open it up. Now the Beis Yosef brings this Avi Yosef, and he says he's going like Rav Huna, and we don't pass him like Rav Huna. We pass him like Rav Huna Beidu Yeshua, and Rav Huna Beidu Yeshua said you can't open up a millstone. The Ramah though says, Darkei Moshe Nagos also says the same thing, that no, Rav Huna was talking where there was one millstone here and another millstone there. But in Avi Yosef's case, even Rav Huna Beidu Yeshua would agree that when it's a clear hezek, this is like a mazik, it's dina de garmi, it's a clear hezek to Reuven because no one's going to come to him anymore. So in that case, it's going to be usher for Shimon to open up. Now the Pischei Tshuva, just before we get into this chiddush, the Pischei Tshuva points out that the first thing we said from the Shevis Yosef, the Masa Ben Yamin, they're saying beyond the Avi Yosef. They're not necessarily proof that they're holding like the Avi Yosef. They were talking where you're taking away the exclusive rights of selling liquor, the exclusive rights of that franchise. So that, even the Beis Yosef, he says, would agree is also to do. We're talking now about a case which is more relevant to nowadays, where your store will effectively knock out the first one, but maybe it won't. You know, maybe people will walk through to the alley to yours.
Like a 90%.
Right. It's a good chance. It's not taking it away. It's 95%. It's Bari Hezekah. It's clear, but it's maybe not 100%. So the Pischei Tshuva says, I think he's going with Avi Yosef at the end. Anyway, the Chassam Sofer seems to agree with him too. But the it's not necessarily that the Shevis Yosef and the Masa Ben Yamin agree with it. So the Ramah says, based on this Avi Yosef, the same thing is true by this Svarim. Because what's going to happen? This second Justinian, He was out for blood. He was out to knock the Maharam Padav out of business. He was upset that he wasn't the partner. He wasn't interested in making money. He had enough money anyway. He just wanted to lower the price enough to knock the Ramah out of business. Yaakov is saying, so let the Maharam Padav out of business. Let the Maharam Padav lower the price and compete and make it even cheaper. But he had lowered it so much that for the Maharam Padav to lower it any further, he'd have a loss. It would be a loss. Right, and they say that. They say that. It's not like you're giving out nuts, I'll give out almonds. You're destroying me. You are taking away any chance of me making a living on the Yisfarim. Because you pricing it at what my cost was, and for me to compete. And this is Bari Ezekah, because who in their right mind is going to, you know, they're going to go buy for me. It's the same exact set. They're going to spend $100 more for my Rambam than his Rambam. It's a Bari Ezekah. In a case where, to avoid Yaakov's question, in a case where I cannot compete, where the Maharam Padav could not compete because he couldn't meet that price, so the Ramah Paskin, that even though we can't force a non-Jew to listen to our Dinei Torah, but we can tell the Jews not to buy the Rambam from this unfair competition, and they had to buy it from the Maharam Padav. That's the way the Ramah Paskin. Now, Chassam Sofer says that this Aviyasav applies only to a case like a millstone, because you know, someone's looking to mill his grain, and as soon as he walks into the alley, he sees a millstone, so he's not going to go further. But if it's something like a tailor, you know, the tailor's inside the store, you don't know where the tailor is, you walk around, where's their tailor? So they'll say, oh, there's one here and there's one there. So the Chassam Sofer says this only applies, he says another example would be a fruit stand, right? You have a fruit stand and that's outside, and this person has it at the end of the alley, and you're opening one in the top of the alley, so no one's going to go to the second one because the first one is right here, right? So the Chassam Sofer limits the issur of the Ramah, in that case of a one-way street, a dead end, to something that really is going to stop people from going through. The Minchas Tzvi, Rav Tzvi Spitz, the contemporary post we quote him very much, he says, nowadays it could be the whole thing doesn't apply, because nowadays we have advertising. All you have to do is put in the front of the alley a big arrow, say, you know, cheap millstone at the bottom of the alley. So it could be, he says, this actual case of the Avi Yosef doesn't apply anymore. But the application, the Ramah said, the Ramah's application to refer to lowering prices to put someone out of business, right, that will still apply. Right, so even though the Ramah is basing his whole thing on Avi Yosef, and that halacha doesn't apply nowadays, most probably, because it's hard to believe that, you know, first of all, where will you have such a circumstance where you can't get to the, you know, it could be like a mall, and there's one entrance to the mall, and there's one at that end, and you open yours. But there's advertising. People go because there's a newspaper. You can do things to make people know that you're there. But the application, the Ramah's application of lowering prices, that could apply. And he uses this Avi Yosef. I mean, others don't use it so strongly, other contemporary poskim, but he uses it to give a few Lamaisa examples. The first thing he points out, I mean, a few things he points out, we're talking the whole time that the second store, the second person can't open up and lower his prices enough, so much that it'll put the first one out of business. But, like you've been saying, he can open up a store and have his prices lower as long as the first one can still make a profit. The first one won't make as big a profit as he used to, but the Gemara Paskin said if you're a member of the city, you're allowed to open a store. There's nothing wrong with that. He'll make less money, so that's life. You know, no one says that just because you made $500,000 this year, you're going to make $500,000 every year. Things might get worse. If it gets to a point where he lowers his prices to put you out of business, so then that's unfair. And he points out that even if you have a few businesses, and this is your business here, you have another business somewhere else, he has no right to put this business out of business just because you have another one somewhere else. I have this business for this purpose, another one for another purpose. You have no right to ruin my livelihood. What's called livelihood? He brings from Ramosha had a tshuva, that Ramosha says that it's to live like a normal person in that financial status, to live a normal life. You know, you say, well, you don't put me out of business, I can still make a living and sell my house and move to an apartment and ride a bicycle instead of a car. That's not called a livelihood. So you can't start saying, well, he's making so much money, you know, I'm not putting him out of business. That's his living, so you can't knock him out of business. You can lower his earnings, but you can't knock him out of business. Suppose there's only enough support in the city for one ski shop and not for two, and you're not lowering the prices, so he says, make her, then it's okay, because I'm not putting him out of business. I'm selling it at a fair market price. One of us is not going to make it, but it might be me, it might be him. There's not enough to support, not enough business in town to support two ski shops, but I'm not doing anything unfair. It's not Bari Hazeka. I'm selling at the same price. Maybe people will like my salesmanship, maybe they'll like his. I'm not shoving him into the corner. I'm just opening fair. Now he says it'd be proper. You know, the Minchasvi, I'm going through the Minchasvi. So he said it would be a proper thing for community members to make certain takanas, not because it's not such a nice thing that, you know, I have a parnas and someone else can open up a store which could likely 50-50 put me out of business or put him out of business. I mean, it's proper to have certain takanas in place, not to open up another store that will definitely put someone out of business. But how can you stop him? Al pi halacha, there's really no good way to stop him. Why? Davi Yosef is, no one's going to come to that first one because I have the second one there. But I'm not putting him out of business here because maybe I won't work. Maybe I won't succeed. He has his business. He has his customers. I'm opening up a store. Will they come to me or not? Right? He says it's not a clear application. Another thing he says, and this is also very nogeya, the aviyas is a two-edged sword. Suppose it's mutter for me to open up my store. Let's say it won't put anyone out of business. There's enough supply here, enough demand for two businesses, two ski shops. It's a lot of people moved into town, and there's enough support for two of them. So I'm not allowed to lower prices my second one. I can't lower prices to put the first one out of business. That's the Avi Yosef, the Ramaz application of the Avi Yosef. But Minchasvi says the same thing is, the first one's now upset that a second one opened up the store here. So the first one says, I'll lower my skis to put the second one out of business. So he says the Avi Yosef's Isser will apply to the first one also, because if the second one has a right to open up a store, the first one feels bad. I'm not going to make $500,000, I'm going to start making $400,000 maybe. But if the second one had a right, la halacha, to do it, and certainly if there was nothing that's going to jeopardize his parnasa, the first one is also to lower prices to put the second one out of business, because Avi Yosef's not coming, there's nothing to do with first and second. He's saying you can't be mazik someone. It doesn't make a difference whether the second one's mazik the first one or the first one's mazik the second one. Either way.
He's trying to protect his customer base. So one thing to say, okay, the new customers, you know, he's good. But I have 1,000 customers, and they come to me. So you're saying that I can't do something to maintain?
Yeah, give them good service, but don't do something that puts me out of business.
New customers that you work with, but to maintain the old customers.
If you're doing a good job, your customers will stay by you.
Any votes here?
If you're doing a good job, your customers will stay by you. They'll be loyal to you. I'd just like to conclude with, first we'll review what we had so far. We've learned from the Gemara that in opening up a store to compete with one that's here already, if you're a member of that city, it's completely mutter to do it. If you're from the outside, it's usser. The shaila whether that applies nowadays, that isser. But what we've been discussing is, even when you're a member of the city, we've learned that even though, technically speaking, you're allowed to open up a competing business, number one, that doesn't mean you could take away that person's sole license to do something and mamish take away his business. That, the Masas Ben Yamin Sheyus Yosef said, was certainly aser. And then we saw a step further, that Avi Yosef said, you can't open up a business, even though you're a member of the city, that will definitely put that first one out of business. Contemporary application, the way the Rama used it was, you price him out of business. You price it so low, and stores do that. You price it so low to put them out of business, and then as soon as you go out of business, you raise the prices. Minchasvi says that's, you know, you just follow the world. That's what happens. Now there's a Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Baal HaTanya says that there's a Midas Chasidus, it's at the end of the handout. He says there's a Midas Chasidus not to be Yoreid L'soch Umnes Chaveiro. Now what's he talking about? If it's Aser, it's Aser. If it's Mutter, it's Mutter. Like we said, the Chavis Yor in the beginning said, it's not Hachino b'chol Tfusus Yisrael to do it. Some Sofer disagrees. If some Sofer says, that's only true where it's Mutter, but if it's going to be a Isser, then you can't do that. right? The Chavos Yair seem to say it's mutter across the board as long as you're part of the city. The Chassam Sofer says we've just learned that there's exceptions. If you're going to put the first one out of business, then it's not mutter. It'll be mutter if there's mamish room for everyone and there's no problem. So the way Pesach Choshen understands the Shulchan Aruch HaRav is he seems to understand it that even in cases where it might be mutter, if it's like these cases where it might diminish the first one's sale somewhat, there might be a minus chasidus not to do it. So if you have such a shaila, certainly yes a shaila before you do it, because there are these different issues, and even when it's mutter, maybe there's a minus chasidus you'd have to see. I'll conclude with the Chazon Ish, what Pesach Choshen brings down. The Chazon Ish says in the Muna Uvitachon that these halachas don't make a difference of how much money you're going to make, because every year it's not on the hand, I couldn't fit in. Every year on Rosh Hashanah we get a psak how much money we're going to make, and whether three people open up stores or no people open stores, five people open up stores, I'm going to make the same amount of money. What are we talking about? We're talking about hishtadlus. I have to do hishtadlus. So these halachas are just telling us what the parameters of our hishtadlus could be. If someone opens up a store which is definitely going to put me out of business because of his prices or because of the way he's marketing it or whatever reason it is, so then it's mutter for me to do the hishtadlus to put him out of business, to stop him from putting me out of business. Right? That's mutter, just like it's mutter for me to work, because that's my hishtadlus. It's also mutter for me to do what I can to protect my business. If he's doing something which is not usur, he's just opening up, fairly competing, and there's room for everyone, or I might make a little less, but there's room for everyone. It's not true I'll make a little less, because it already was paskin on Rosh Hashanah what I was going to make. Maybe part of the psak was that this other person will open up the store and I'll make less. Maybe he'll open the store and I'll make more. Like Dr. Miller was saying, sometimes you open up a store and there's they're happy when Sears moves into the mall, because that makes more people come in, right? Even though there's other department stores there. So this whole thing, it's not a Choshen Mishpat issue, but just to know in Hashkaf of the Chazon Ish, the Pesach Choshen brings this Chazon Ish to know that we could be more secure with our Parnasa. These things are just halachos and hishtadlus, but how much we actually will make, that is paskin by Hashem. It's between us and Hashem, and no one can really affect that.